Welcome to the Vitamin Shoppe Brand Summit 2024. We're out in Dallas, Texas. This is so cool to be here. I mean, we kind of are shotgunning a little bit, but man, we got a beautiful backdrop. We got a bunch of really cool guests for today. Mm-hmm. We're opening it up with Tabitha Daly.
Guys.
And Brian Tanzer, the Vitamin Shoppe. I'll let you guys, Tabitha and Brian, introduce yourselves and what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. So my name's Tabitha. I am one of the three senior brand managers for the private brand side of Vitamin Shoppe. So I oversee both two brands, Plant as well as V-Thrive. Plant is more of that organic, vegan certified, whole food natural brand, whereas V-Thrive is more of that clinically studied, more premium brand actually.
And make sure you spell plant for us because it's not.
Yeah. So the cool thing about plant, the brand is called Plant, P-L-N-T. No A, nothing artificial in the products. Go ahead, Brian. What's up?
Hi, I'm Brian Tanzer. And first, I want to thank Mike
and Ben.
Mike and Ben for having me here today. It's great to be back here at the Vitamin Shoppe Brand Summit. My name is Brian Tanzer. I'm Director of Scientific and Regulatory Affairs. I interact with many parts of the business. I work with Tabitha and her private brands team on product formulations, claim substantiation, make sure we have research to support the claims we make. I review all marketing, training, and education. So basically everything that goes to the health enthusiasts in our stores, also anything that's customer facing goes through my team. Part of the legal department. So anytime there's any type of litigation, I'm involved in that as well. So I interact with many different areas of the business.
Excellent. So you are responsible for like stuff that goes on the website and making sure that basically Vitamin Shoppe keeps it kosher and everything. So thank you, because we look to you as a leader in this industry in making sure that like compliant ingredients are staying in the market and everything, so we appreciate it. And you two actually went to high school together, so let's just get that out of the way. There's a little history.
I tell everyone this because I'm so proud of it.
Me too.
Like, not only did we went to high school together, we were really good friends.
Like
genuinely have been friends for a very, very long time, and just ran into each other randomly. Like, oh, she was at a different company for a little bit that we won't talk about today, but moved to Vitamin Shoppe, and it's just the weirdest. I mean, it's a very niche community. Like, right. This is a very niche industry, and like we were the weird kids in our high school.
Let me just highlight that. Yeah. So we were like, you know, 14, 15 years old where we first met. Emo, you know, scene kids back in the day. And I'm sorry to tell everyone we were vegetarians.
Yeah, we were weird.
We were like strict vegetarians, didn't work out, band kid over here. Oh my gosh. So.
And somehow we both end up like, I want to say like the,
say
the
fit.
Top, like the high level. Yeah. Like it's crazy. I mean, it's just bizarre. So super proud of everything you're doing.
Absolutely.
I mean, cool. So yeah, before we get into like some of the products you're working on, which I'm interested in, tell us like, what are we doing? What is the Vitamin Shoppe Brand Summit? And what are the perks? Like if someone wanted to work for the Vitamin Shoppe, tell us like, this is part of the why, in my opinion. I'm seeing a lot of really cool things already. So what happens here?
Yeah. Brian, do you want me to start? Yeah, so the Vitamin Shoppe Brand Summit, we try to do it every 2 years, whether it's in person or virtual, but this is where we gather all 750 plus store managers. We have our field leadership team. We have so many people from the CSC, such as Brian and myself. We just get everyone together and we talk about, you know, what's new, what's coming up. We bring in third party vendors and they talk about what's new and what's coming up on their side too. So it's a really big, you know, educational session where we just talk about what's going on. We bring everyone together and it's really great to see everyone. It just really vamps up that energy as to why we work for the Vitamin Shoppe, why we're giving back, and basically why we want to create healthy lives for everyone. And my favorite part about the Brand Summit is when I leave, I'm just so energized to be like, all right, what's new? What can I do now? Like, what do we want to launch now? So,
I mean, at the Vitamin Shoppe, we pride ourselves on education, as you know. So if you come to work for the Vitamin Shoppe, that's what you're going to get. You get to interact with the vendors who are going to teach about new ingredients, new products, customers that it's designed for. It's really about education. That's where we differentiate from other companies. Make sure when a customer walks into a Vitamin Shoppe, that interaction is going to be really good. They're going to really feel like they're learning something. So rather than pushing products on people, we educate them so they can make the best choice, you know, for them and their families.
Mm-hmm. What I love is following your CEO, Lee Wright, right? And so he posts a lot of his visits. He goes into the stores. He posts it on LinkedIn. Anyone can follow. He goes into the stores, takes a selfie with the associates every time, and he's learned a tremendous amount. We kind of forget how much we know sometimes, and we have to realize that most, like, you know, regular individuals don't have the wealth of knowledge. So it's important to be able to educate. So it's really cool watching his progress over time. Hopefully we get him here, but it's.
I've seen that. I've been with the company 12 years, and we get a lot of people from other retail, from other industries, and you see their own personal health journeys and transformations. They come to the company not knowing anything about nutrition, not knowing anything about supplements, and it changes lives, not just for our customers, but for the people that come work for the Vitamin Shoppe.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned health enthusiast before. Can you define what a health enthusiast is for those who don't know?
Yeah, so a health enthusiast is... really anyone that works for the Vitamin Shoppe. Specifically, I think Brian and I are talking more about like the store managers, the store team, the field leadership team. Health enthusiasts, instead of calling them employees, they truly are health enthusiasts. They really do care about the health.
I've always loved they call it health enthusiasts. I worked at the Vitamin Shoppe. When I was interviewing in, like, I asked a bunch of different questions, like, you know, what's the selling culture like? What are the KPIs like? And they were just like, you just help people. That's really like your whole responsibility is you help people in store. There's really not a lot of like, you know, I don't want to put words in anyone's mouths here, but there's not a lot of like pushing or anything. It's really all about helping people. I mean, one of the main pillars that you guys talk about is expertise. Like, I feel really comfortable sending our viewers into Vitamin Shoppe, not only because the quality is backed by great formulators and great regulatory, but then the in-store sales, I almost said it, health enthusiasts, they really are going to help people, you know, build a basket that is going to be all-encompassing and holistic of their actual health. It's not just going in for stims. It's not just going in for, you know, your caffeine, although we did talk about Infinity today. There's a lot more to the experience that is more than just sports nutrition, which I think is really awesome for them.
That's great. So, Brian, let's say we have some new ingredients coming down the pipe. Ben just mentioned Infinity. And so Sean Wells spoke earlier kind of giving some training. It's what we see is a lot of training going to the health enthusiasts and everything. What is the process of getting a novel ingredient into the Vitamin Shoppe?
So we get approached by a lot of ingredient suppliers, right. And our private brands team does a great job at filtering out things that they think that our customers, that will resonate with our customers. First thing I do is ask for research. I'm like, what studies do you have? We like start out with, all right, animal studies, but we'd like to see human clinical trials on ingredients. This way, I'm comfortable that we can substantiate the claims that they're making for the product. It's just easier to market, and it protects the company from a legal standpoint. If you're ever challenged on the claims you make, you have to have research. I mean, we've been through, there have been times where you go through lawsuits and litigation, and I'm the one being deposed, and they get into the weeds of the studies. What's the data? It's really important to have, but it also for the customer to know and be comfortable with that these products have been studied in humans, right? They have clinical studies. And we just vet through research. We work closely with the vendors on the marketing and what customer the ingredient will be good for, what kind of formula or product that'll fit well with, and we take it from there.
Okay, so if I have an ingredient that we have generally recognized as safe, like recognition, but there's no human clinical data yet, like where do you kind of fall in on that?
We typically won't launch an ingredient unless there's clinical studies. Right. I'm not comfortable making claims. Mm-hmm. We could sell an ingredient as far as safety goes, but to the consumer, how can you market a product if you can't make claims? And without the research, you really can't do that legally from a regulatory standpoint.
Right, right. So, and are we talking about from the Vitamin Shoppe's own house brands that Tabitha works with? Okay, but what if like, and there's two segments because you also have other companies selling stuff too. Is
right.
It?
So I work much more closely with the team, obviously on the private brand side.
Gotcha.
But I also review all the third party products that come in. It's a different kind of vetting process. I'm vetting that for, I'm looking for legal dietary ingredients. What's in the formula? If I don't recognize it, it's probably not a legal ingredient because I've been in the industry over 20 years and my background is nutrition. So I look for legal dietary ingredients. Is the label compliant with FDA regulations? Is all the appropriate information you need on a label? As far as the claims made by third-party products, they're responsible for that. Okay. So if they're ever challenged, we don't get involved in any kind of litigation. We tender it back to them. It's in their contract that they have to have the data to support the claims that they make.
Okay, that makes sense.
Let's key in on the, like, the third party. Let's key in on Vitamin Shoppe's actual brands. There's a lot of quality assurance when it comes to Body Tech Elite, plants, anything that's Vitamin Shoppe brand. Can you tell us a little bit about, like, what kind of quality qualifications you guys put on your own in-house brands?
Sure. So we have our own auditor that audits before we even work with a contract manufacturer. She has extensive experience in the pharmaceutical, food industry, manufacturing, dietary supplements. We make sure that they're following GMP. So it's a full audit before we even work with a company. And then the products go through testing. Everything, the raw materials, all the documentation is reviewed, how you store the product, how you train employees, and all the things that the GMPs require. We make sure those things are being followed. And then the contract manufacturer tests the raw material, they test the finished product, and then we again send it out to a third-party lab to verify those results. So it goes through a very thorough quality assurance.
It's right now, there's a huge boom with creatine monohydrate. I mean, I feel like we say that every year for the record. Everywhere it's like creatine's trending. It's because it's the most studied ingredient of all time. But when people ask me, like, what creatine can I trust? It's most often, I'm like, just go buy the Vitamin Shoppe brand. You know, like I can tell you a few different brands, but I know the Vitamin Shoppe is always tested. I know that you guys, like, are going to stick to that. You know, over the years, we've seen brands claim third-party tested. I don't know if 2 years later they're still doing that, but I know that Vitamin Shoppe is a very strict SOP. So thank you for all the effort.
I appreciate
that.
Yeah. So Tabitha, this might not be your decision or anything, but, like, the Vitamin Shoppe wants to make a brand called Plant. Like, why create an internal brand, a private label brand yourself, as opposed to, like, there's probably many other similar brands already out there? What can you do differently and better?
So you're saying if we wanted to, you know, if we see a lot of third-party brands coming out with something new, do we develop a new brand or do we take in new brands?
Yeah, I guess I'm asking the general question, like,
why Plant?
Why I guess we use Plant as an example. Why does it exist in the first place?
Yeah, absolutely.
Was there something missing that you could formulate better, do you think?
Yeah, so I think with Plant, I think we can all agree that over the last, I don't know, maybe 5-7 years, the rise for more natural, organic, whole food-based products came about. We didn't have that in Vitamin Shoppe. You know, we had some offerings, but we didn't have that brand dedicated for that niche customer.
Gotcha.
So that's where our idea of developing a specific brand came to place. We came about with different names to name the brand itself, but I think Plant kind of just made more sense. And a lot of people don't understand that it's missing the A for that, so I think we personally should market it a little bit better, but I love the brand, and I think just over the last year, more people are now focusing more on that whole food, especially with, I'd say, Gen Z. They're kind of just like the mocktails. I don't want anything unnatural in my drinks. I don't want sucralose. I don't want anything like that. So it gives Plant more of a reason to grow. So mm-hmm.
So what are some cool things that you formulated within any of the private labels? Any formulas you're pretty proud of, or did you do anything pretty cool?
I mean, we have so much that's about to launch that I don't want to give away those secrets on camera. I could tell you guys off camera, but so stay tuned, because in 2024, I think we have about, what are we, like a quarter through the year already? Mm-hmm. I think we have about 20 new SKUs launching for the rest of the year, probably a couple more, but that's just stay tuned. That's all I got to say.
And so those will all go on the shelves
in 2024.
In the stores. Okay.
Yes.
Wow, that's it. Okay.
Yeah.
So you're going big on some of this stuff.
Yeah, and I would say we probably have at least 30 more, like, in the pipeline.
Wow.
So we're just constantly innovating.
That's interesting. So it seems like Vitamin Shoppe is going big on, like, the Whole Foods push.
Yeah, absolutely.
Interesting. Okay.
So when you made, so Body Tech Elite, for instance, I'm not sure how closely tied in you are with that, but it's another private label. Really solid pre-workouts that, like, I'm very impressed, because a lot of times people almost assume that the house brand is just going to be a whatever pre-workout, and you put together some really good stuff. Does that upset, like, some of the other brands that are trying to sell into Vitamin Shoppe that you have a pre-workout that's better than a lot of theirs? Like, do you ever hear, like, that? Is there any friction like that?
To be honest, I haven't heard too much friction about that. I mean, cool. Dustin will speak more probably when you ask him about Altered Savage. That's definitely one of the best pre-workouts. I would highly recommend people try it. We haven't heard anything like that. I mean, they're still coming in our doors. Third party are still working with us, you know, like the Rise out there, and what else is there? Like Bucked Up and everything like that. But so far, we're still on good terms.
Yeah. So I've been impressed with everything your team has done. So awesome. That's just kind of what I'm getting at here.
It's made it easy for us to do education for them.
Right.
Right. Like, whether the content's external or we're helping internally, like, it's easy to throw Body Tech into the conversation. Body Tech Elite, I should say. They always ask us to add the Elite.
Just piggyback off of that, I would say over the last 2 years, the Vitamin Shoppe has really, really upped their game when it comes to the sports nutrition brands. Like, it's just such a game changer, the amount of innovation that's been going into those spaces.
Yeah, I mean, you have the pipeline to do it. You have the team to build it. Mm-hmm. And you have the foot traffic that's looking for it, right? Why not have a private label that is competitive? It's been an absolute pleasure to be part of.
We also get a lot more. I mean, I've been with the company 12 years, and we used to just launch products. Now we get a lot of input from our health enthusiasts on what people are coming in for. I mean, they're out in the field. They're talking to the customer, and they have some input into, hey, customers are asking for this type of product or this ingredient. And Tabitha and Dustin try to make that happen, you know, with the formulas.
Yeah, Vitamin Shoppe has a lot of very educated health enthusiasts, which has been really fun to kind of interface with online. One of the things, and I don't know if you were involved at all in like the discussion of this process, but one of the cool things you guys do is that every store has their own social media now, and they kind of interact and engage and create, which is like fascinating, very cool. But we see posts from your health enthusiasts that are like educated and well-informed, and I imagine you guys get a lot of really quality feedback.
Yeah, when the idea came up a few years ago with Lisa, our head of marketing, each store has their own Instagram account. I got a little nervous because you always worry. I'm always concerned of what people are going to start posting on social media.
Of course. Yeah.
But, you know, we provide a lot of the material that they post, but they're also free to do their, and they get very creative and they do a wonderful job, but we have to make sure that we're following DSHEA and all the regulatory guidelines. We don't want to cause any issues with the FTC. But they do a wonderful job. A lot of them get really creative. I don't know if you follow a lot of the store pages, but we have to carefully monitor that as well.
Mm-hmm. I do have to say, when I joined at Vitamin Shoppe, there was a module very early on. I've talked about this for DSHEA. Like, you guys teach your employees like what a dietary supplement is and what they can and cannot say that it does, which I think makes a much better experience for the consumer coming in, because they're going to be able to have a better understanding of what it's going to do for them, what they can expect, but also in a very reasonable way. They're not going to be getting any outlandish claims when they walk in store.
Yeah, about 4 years ago, I actually built an extension to the basic DSHEA course, because everyone that starts working at the Vitamin Shoppe is required to take that course. So even if you're working in finance, you're going to be taking it just to get some understanding of what we do. But then for the people that are working directly with product, private brands, marketing, social media, they go through a little bit extra. So it's like DSHEA 2.0, which I walk them through, and it's really helpful for them.
What are some of the key things that you want people to understand about DSHEA? Like what are the key things you think is important?
That you can't make any disease claims for dietary supplements. like you guys know, a lot of people think this industry is not regulated. It couldn't be further from the truth, right? We all know how tightly regulated it is. And because we get a lot of people from other retail, they only know the supplement industry from what they see on social media. And that's really not a good picture sometimes, right? Yeah. So it's really just to make sure that they understand that we have to play within the rules. My job, most importantly, is to protect the company, but also to give the consumer the information they need to pick the right product. But we want to do it in a way that's not misleading, that they understand, that's not too technical, too scientific, but that we're following the guidelines and the customers are happy.
Okay, so if someone comes in and they tell a health enthusiast that they have a certain disease, how does the health enthusiast navigate this? Or like, I come in and I say, I recently had a heart attack or something like that. What is the training for them?
So we try to create those scenarios. Like you mentioned, if a customer comes in and says, I have diabetes, can you help me?
Right.
We teach them to kind of change the language. We said, well, we can't help you with that, but we can help. We have some products to help with your blood sugar issues. So we get the disease words out of the conversation, mm-hmm. and make sure they're addressing making structure function claims to make sure that they're not violent. Because, you know, the FDA could send someone into the store just to buy products, and you can get in a lot of trouble. So we make sure that there's never disease claims about supplements, that they're well educated on how to handle questions like that and turn it into a way that's more regulatory friendly.
Mm-hmm. So cool.
Yeah, I should say, we've worked with like a lot of your team. Carlos, we went to D.C. with. You guys have quite a robust team for regulatory, which is, it just makes us trust what you guys do so much more. It feels easy to trust Vitamin Shoppe, knowing like what a team you guys have there. I do want to ask, we talked a lot about plant, but that's not the only brand that you work with,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
What other brands do you work with?
So specifically, I oversee Plant, but also V-Thrive, which is such an incredible brand, and it's just going to continue to grow. I believe in 2023, sales and just the brand itself was up like 23%. So that's just super exciting. And I think Plan itself was 19%. So
I think VThrive is probably one of my like most underrated brands at Vitamin Shoppe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The nootropic that you guys shared, I don't know if that was last year or the year before, but it is very similar to a like an experimental formula we did a couple years ago with Armada at Supply Side. It's like a non-stim, just nootropic capsule that you could add to any kind of energy drink. And you guys sell a lot of energy drinks. You guys also have like a blood glucose product that is like really well put together. VThrive is like a very under the radar, but well-formulated product.
Yeah, I didn't know much about it until, so when we wrote our Venatron article, I was digging around for products that had it, and they had formulated, it was out for a while, a CBD-based one that had Venatron. I was like, this is a really cool formula they put together. And what I realized in the price fall system is I didn't have VThrive in the system because it wasn't matching into the Vitamin Shoppe, which is where we have some of your other house brand stuff. So we got it in there, and I realized there's a lot of really good stuff you have in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, VThrive is really considered our premium brand.
Okay.
When we first came up with the idea for that brand a few years ago, we wanted to include a lot of the brand. Every product has a branded ingredient or two or more in it to make sure that it's addressing a specific, you know, need by the consumer. Quality is excellent, and Tab has done a wonderful job at taking that to the next level.
Is there a balance for you? Because obviously in a brand like that, you want to be on like the forefront of innovation. So you want to be using your Venatrons and these fun nootropic ingredients. But a lot of these ingredients might not have a ton of data, or like obviously a lot of them are on the market, but they're not grass yet. Like, what's that balance like for you guys? I don't know. Who wants to take that?
I'll start. It's definitely tough, but the coolest thing about our private brand team, myself, Dustin, as well as Eric, we work so closely with these ingredient suppliers that typically we know what their pipeline plans are, you know, 2 to 3 years out, and we partner up front. So we're like, hey, you're not going to finalize your self-affirm grass for another, you know, year. We'll plan to launch it then, and we'll be the first to market. So we have those conversations up front. So we have everything locked and loaded for Brian to approve, and it's just smooth sailing until then.
Like, we'll get approached quite often by ingredient suppliers that say, hey, we got this new ingredient. The research hasn't been published yet. And we say, well, we're not going to use it. Once the data has been published, we're expecting it in the next 2 or 3 months. We'll take another look at it. I had already read the manuscript and the study, and the data is excellent. I'd like to use it, but we won't put it in a product till we have that published study.
We'll tee up all of those claims and everything. We'll get the language ready. But other than that, yeah, Brian waits.
That's smart, because no, you want a journal to actually review it. That's the whole point of peer review and everything. So, okay, there is a trend. I'm going to ask you a slightly regulatory question, kind of, but there's obviously a trend in the weight loss market towards semaglutide, the GLP-1 agonist, and everything. If there were to be, like, a product line or products that are geared towards, like, adjunct supplementation for that to prevent the muscle wasting or to support whatever, are you starting to see that? Are there any concerns? Like, where can a store like the Vitamin Shoppe stand? Because you don't want to like be associated with the pharmaceutical drugs, but it's something that's happening, obviously.
So I'm on the editorial advisory board for Nutritional Outlook magazine, and I wrote a piece on that specifically.
Okay, we'll link to it in the show notes.
Yeah, I know a lot of people in the industry frown upon medications. Like, I'm not anti-drug. I think there's a place for these medications for people who have serious health risks, right? And any risk that might come with the medication is not as bad as having diabetes and high blood pressure and all these other things. I think the industry is in a perfect position to work with people and educate people using these medications on, look, they're cutting their calorie intake probably by almost half. So even before that, they probably weren't meeting their nutrient requirements. Mm-hmm. Now it's even worse.
Mm-hmm.
So here we are, multivitamins, getting enough protein. It's all about nutrients, I think, digestive health. So we're already in conversations about how we can really work with customers who might have turned to those medications. And again, I think it's an option. I just think the customer, they can't forget about nutrition. And that's one of the things that I'm seeing with this medication, is that conversation's not happening. It's all about just take the medication. Don't talk about diet. Don't talk about exercise. Don't talk about sleep. But you got to do it all. Right. And one of the concerns I have is when you're on these medications is that it's hard to really develop a better relationship with food because you don't have an appetite. But you can still work with a nutritionist and understand portion size and healthy food. So I think it's all important, and I think we're perfectly positioned to play in that area.
Right, but I guess the hard question is, like, the vitamin shop can't say, if you're taking this drug, then you should try this HMB or multivitamin or whatever. So, like, how do you do anything?
Yeah, from a regulatory standpoint, you can't talk about dietary supplements addressing side effects of medications. Mm-hmm. This to me, and this is conversations I've also had with outside, even FDA lawyers, that the issues with these medications, they're not really side effects. We're trying to address nutrient deficiencies.
Gotcha, okay.
And when you're talking nutrients, the FDA will never bother you. When you're addressing, you know, a consumer taking a medication and may be missing out or deficient in a nutrient, that can go for even medications used for heartburn. There's a lot of medications that can cause nutrient issues. And I think that this falls in that category. So to me, it isn't a regulatory issue to educate consumers on, if you're taking this medication, here are some of the things you need to consider.
Okay.
You are so on the nose with that. I didn't send you this, but tomorrow, Muriel, the CMO, is going to be announcing her top trends, and like the number one is that exactly. But Mike, so preparing for what I was going to say, like we're going to respond to that tomorrow, is like I can't think of a time ever where we have been addressing drugs with supplementation in this industry as like such a large trend. It's a very interesting time. The only other one I would think of is like bariatric surgery. Did have a lot of like whey protein isolate usage,
right,
which is a similar thing. Because you are lowering the amount of volume that you are intaking, we now need to find a strategic way to get nutrients in. I totally feel the same way. I worry about like muscle wasting with these people, which may be more, that is 100% a drug claim. Sorry for saying that, but.
That's definitely a concern. I mean, we have to, at least me, I don't work for your company, but we have to like be in the real world and realize that this is happening. At least like, I would hope the health enthusiasts are kind of like, at least they know what amino acids might work, what, you know, all that stuff without saying the wrong things. And that's kind of why I'm asking you these questions.
I walk a fine line.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny. I want to ask Josh Shaw, because I think he'd be the person to ask this. Like, when's the last time there was such a major drug that we in the supplement industry were talking about supporting it with nutrients? I couldn't tell you another time when there's been like a viral drug being used by people.
I mean, chromium in diabetics, but that's not like a huge. That's not this.
No, this is massive.
That's not even close. You know, yeah.
Well, for a long time, the acid blocking medications used for reflux were the most commonly prescribed medication. Now it's over the counter and a lot of people use it. Those are the people who really don't want to change what they eat and just take that. That causes a lot of nutrient issues around iron, calcium, B12. That's the thing that comes to mind for me.
Interesting. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, this kind of took a sideways spin there, but I think, obviously it's a trend worth talking about. I don't really have a whole lot other. Are we good on video?
No, we're good. Yeah. Nice. Thank you guys so much for joining us. This has been
appreciate
really helpful.
You guys having us on.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Congratulations on everything you're doing. And thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks,
guys. We met, but just from my perspective, who I met, it was the people that owned the training facilities that were on the cutting edge of every training practice. But then the people that worked for like the Jaguars, they were like, I'm doing stuff that worked 10 years ago and I'm not touching anything new.
Yeah.
So it's proven. So that's how I felt like it was.
Agreed.
All right, are we rolling?
That was a hot start, Dustin. Welcome to the Price Ball Podcast. We're at the Vitamin Shop Brand Summit, and I don't know what the order of the events is going to be here, Ben, but
In my eyes, we might be wrong, but in my eyes, we just finished the Brian Tanzer and Tabitha Daily podcast, and I think it segues perfectly into here because
we were talking about you in that segment.
We talked about some body tech. So
okay, cool.
You know,
cool.
We've talked a lot about like regulatory concerns, and Brian really gave us his side of that, and then we talked about plants and why they don't have the A in it. But frankly, we've talked the most when it comes to private brands about body tech over the years.
Awesome.
You know, we've talked about Ultra Savage, Ultra Strength. We've talked about Ultra Physique.
Body Tech Elite.
Sorry. Yeah. Well, we actually were just talking about there is body tech as well, which there's body tech and body tech elite. There's a lot to talk about here that I feel like we don't talk enough about.
And I think we should properly introduce Dustin here because we did a hot start here and we were talking about strength and conditioning world. I was asking if you were coming to ISSN and you're talking about the way that you see things from the strength and conditioning perspective. And so you're kind of talking about how it's smart to play it safe. Professional athletes, you're not going to teach Michael Jordan how to jump higher, but
exactly.
You got to keep him on the court or on the field. And so they come from a different world in sports. So can you give us your background with that said?
Sure. My background is in exercise physiology, strength and conditioning. And so, you know, a lot of people that I meet in this industry, obviously a lot of people who train in this industry will have similar backgrounds. So it's easy to connect and talk on that level. where things sort of differed for me, you know, I did the standard internship with a sports team, internship in strength and conditioning with the collegiate program at Florida International that I was at. Where things diverge is, you know, Miami was a hotbed for supplements, and there was a contract manufacturer in Miami. At the time, I was working at a nutrition store trying to make ends meet during the day, and came across him. He thought that he was just getting like this lifter, strength and conditioning, you know, bodybuilder type's view of a brand that he just bought. So contract manufacturer, just bought a brand, was just looking for opinions on the brand so he could figure out where to go with it. But, you know, with my backgrounds, you know, on just ingredients, nutrition, working at the supplement store, data collection and studies, and then just knowing the business end of it, working at that supplement store, you know, I had a store owner who was a real hustler who gave me a crash course on the ins and outs of the business side of the industry. I had sort of this, you know, this tool, this education that I wasn't expecting to have on supplements. And I gave him a crash course on everything wrong with the brand, where the brand could go, how the brand stood like in the space. And he went from, okay, I just want this guy's opinion to, okay, I'm going to hire this guy. So he ended up hiring me. I worked for this small brand that was only doing 700K a year. It was Betancourt Nutrition, just a local Miami brand. And I was doing everything. You know, I was a field rep. I was working in the warehouse. I was stacking pallets. I would give the lab my opinions on formulas and stuff that they were working on. And the first major product that I worked on with them was Bulnox, which ended up becoming Benox. So at the time, you know, George Betancourt, he had the idea because there was a former writer from BSN that was working with George. And that former writer from BSN gave him the idea, do a pre-workout with test boosters. Nobody's doing that. So he did that. He just had no idea what to put in it, right? And so it was like my first year working at the company, they were like, hey, you know, we've got all these scientists at Nutriforce. We have George Betancourt as a bodybuilder. We want to do this pre-workout. And, you know, I have all this expertise, but nobody knows exactly what should go in it and what these lifters wanted, right? So I put something together. I had to work closer with those, the people in the lab, the people that did stability, the people that did regulatory, to learn how to formulate drug interactions, what would clump, what could be flavored, all that kind of stuff. And so already by year two, I got into formulations. So with my background in strength and conditioning, I could look at a study, break it down, and look at the statistical significance and say, okay, this has the best chance of actually working versus being, you know, like BS. And it helped me pick ingredients. So I ended up getting into formulations with Betancourt, ended up working with the other brands that the manufacturer got into, like Nutriforce Sports. And the way that I ended up at Vitamin Shoppe was, you know, after working my way up, sort of managing those brands for Nutriforce, doing some consulting work for foreign brands overseas, Nutriforce, the manufacturer, was purchased by Vitamin Shoppe because they wanted to be vertically integrated. And that's why I earned the title Fresh Prince of Secaucus, because I was living in Miami. I was living the dream life, you know, and they shipped me off to New Jersey to help with their new focus for private label brands.
I was curious if you knew where that story was going.
There were a few pieces that were missing for me. So that's
Betancourt
awesome.
Became basically a private label for Vitamin Shoppe.
Yeah. So in the very beginning, Betancourt was a private label for them. It really changed the landscape of Betancourt, I think, because when I was working for them, you know, we were talking about this yesterday. I was dabbling with like DMAA, all these hardcore ingredients, hardcore test boosters, and we really had to make that transition for Betancourt to be regulatory safe for Vitamin Shoppe.
I was going to ask you not to date yourself or anything, but what years were that? What some of those years were? Was that around the 2013 era then, like after?
When I was working on like the pre-workouts and stuff for.
Yeah, when did Bulnox originally come out? When did you first?
Oh wow, that was like 2010.
Yeah. Okay.
Awesome. And then D-Stunner was like the DMAA pre-workout with the phenylthylamines. I think that was like 2012, 2013.
Right. Okay, gotcha. So yeah, you've been doing this for quite a while.
Yeah.
But you are now back in Florida, right? That's what you're just.
Yes, I'm now back in Florida. Now that we've gone remote, I've kind of moved home. Not quite back to Miami, but pretty close.
Pretty cool.
Orlando.
Awesome. So that's a great recap right there.
Pre-workout with testosterone booster. Where else have we seen that?
Sometimes old ideas resurface.
Yeah. Well, I love it because, like, okay, some of these testosterone boosting ingredients actually can provide like a statistically significant increase in testosterone. Some are probably erroneously marketed, but they feel good. Like a tribulus, for instance. I'm not against an ingredient like that if it's properly marketed. If you're making people like kind of feel the edge, that might actually work in a pre-workout. I like some people get feisty about it because they want their pre-workout ingredients to be pre-workout ingredients. I just want like people to like get after it, you know? So
yeah, I mean, there's sort of two sides to that story. So like on the test booster side, you know, we have all these herbal extracts, and statistical significance may not mean much to people, but sometimes the data points are like very small to achieve that, yes, it boosted testosterone. But what does that mean for the consumer, right? So, like, for example, we have the test booster alter test that we did. Mm-hmm. And my big thing with that is, like, most test boosters on shelf, to the point you just made, people are expecting some of the common tropes that come with testosterone boosting, like the strength and the power and all this kind of stuff. But most of these over-the-counter testosterone boosters, they deliver on, like, vitality and libido and things like that. So that's the reason why I incorporated the Rip Factor ingredient. It's not that it was a great test booster per se. You know, it supported healthy, you know, levels, but it wasn't to what I would consider statistical significance, not like the KSM, which we included in there. But what it did have was it had overwhelming results for like one rep max increase in muscle mass. And so I'm like, okay, if I do another test booster, which I had done many before for Betancourt, I want to do a test booster that has an ingredient that's maybe not a testosterone component, but maybe delivers on some of the things that people expect from a test booster, right? I wanted to combine those two to really deliver on why they were buying it.
Awesome, yeah.
Yeah, I think one of the big things that we commonly run into with testosterone is like, or testosterone boosters, I say, is like, do dietary supplements really boost it to a significant factor? I mean, KSM is what, a 14% increase, which,
yep,
that's statistically significant. Does it, but there's a question, like, does that really change someone's lifestyle entirely? And I'm not shitting on KSM. I like KSM 66 for the record.
No, go for it. I know where you're going, and it's my exact thing. Yeah,
I think it has a lot of other benefits as well that I think are overlooked when we talk about testosterone alone, cortisol benefits, and all sorts of other stuff. However, to me, testosterone booster for a lot of people provides libido benefits, virility benefits, just lifestyle benefits. How do you feel day to day? Do you feel more motivated? And, you know, we've had a lot of people on our podcast, some people that like testosterone boosters, some people that don't. But if it improves a man's lifestyle, I think that's a net win for a lot of people. A lot of people who are aging are just looking to feel a little bit younger, feeling a little more pep in their step.
That's the phrase I was just going to use. Like, obviously, if you want to get like the clinically significant stuff, you go to the doctor or whatever, talk to Dr. Cam, who's been on, yeah, our podcast. But yeah, the pep in the step, that's kind of like what I like to get.
Yeah. I think we spend too much time wondering, like, you know, is this testosterone booster really going to make me have a super physiological level of testosterone? I don't want to say the answer is no, because for some people it will help them significantly a lot. But I think for most people, like adding in tribulus, a lot of people have a problem with tribulus, but tribulus does really increase libido. It really does increase that motivation in males, which I think is an incredible part of what testosterone is for a lot of people.
And I'm glad you mentioned that, because it's exactly how I approach the formulations where, like, the altered test, yes, it has the KSM. In my opinion, looking at the studies, the testosterone benefits come from like the cortisol reduction. So it's like, if you're stressed, it impacts testosterone. You reduce that stress, it increases testosterone. So if you're not a stressed person, how much does KSM increase your testosterone, right? So that's the reason why I have the, you know, the strength and performance benefits from the Rip Factor. You have the KSM, which is the stress benefits, and then the Long Jack for the libido and the vitality, right? Because, you know, just going over the counter, I don't think there's any herbal ingredient that can increase testosterone enough to get those standard tropes that come with testosterone, right? I always see these ads on Instagram about, TRT naturally with this herbal ingredient. And I'm like, gosh, this is why people knock our industry. Whereas me, okay, you're going to take this test booster. I'm going to put something in there with statistical clinical significance, but I want you to feel the benefits of what you're expecting. Some strength components, mm-hmm, some well-being components, some libido components. I'm going to build the formula based on that.
I love it. So on to your pre-workouts, because Ultra Savage is what we came up, earlier today. Can you go give us some of the highlights of that product? And then, well, I guess Ben could too, because he's done some training modules on it. Can you give us some of the highlights, like why you needed, I always ask, why do we need yet another pre-workout? So yeah, talk us through Ultra Savage a little bit.
Sure. I'll start with the test boosting component, since we were just on that topic, and obviously I included one in there. You know, for me, trying to choose what should go in there, you were talking about, hey, you know, I don't know if it's really going to benefit, but more power to you if it does. Tesnor was a choice because when it comes to putting any herbal ingredient in powdered formulas that could relate to testosterone, always impacts the flavor, the graininess. You know, you had D-aspartic acid, which worked better like in a powder, but it had like a 3-gram dose, not conducive to really building out the rest of the formula. Tesnor, you know, part of it is pomegranate peel. So pomegranate has a huge reputation for performance in this industry, especially the juices when it comes to boosting endurance. But the peel itself, it has, you know, 12 times the polyphenol, you know, that the juice has. And so when you think about some of the components that could be in there based on that, you know, you think about like quercetin, epicatechin, you know, they're all, you know, constituents in that polyphenol family. So just the pomegranate peel component, you know, is a powerful component when I think about, you know, performance. There was also the study on like pomegranate juice. I think it was 2012. It was a 2012 study that found that it increased salivary testosterone about like 24% in men and women. So I could see sort of like the power like in the pomegranate, you know, how it could possibly like benefit on an acute basis a product. And then, of course, the other component of it was like the theobroma cocoa. You know, we've all seen the extracts from cocoa in this industry that had like performance benefits and bodybuilding benefits. So I felt pretty good about that one. But it was not just a differentiator to sort of like separate it, but it was sort of like, you know, what could I put in here to sort of give people an edge? And the idea of something like pomegranate that had performance benefits, but was also being used in a test booster, and of course, 200 milligram dose, I could flavor it. That was something that I felt like would be a good differentiator for the product, because testosterone is your natural hormonal response, you know, to exercise, right? So I felt like that was a good component to maybe give people an edge if they responded to it.
Did you look at the spread of male and female when you were planning this out and like consider the fact that you're putting a testosterone booster in a pre-workout? Because obviously supplements are growing in females a ton, but was that like a factor when you were thinking about that?
It wasn't a factor for me, but I'm sort of lucky in that regard, just because BodyTech has such a, I should say, you know, large spread of products across categories. I have different levels, right? You can direct female to the BodyTech brand like Flashpoint with no hormonal component. And then you could direct, you know, more of the males to the Altered Savage and to the Altered Strength. But then in addition to that, you know, a lot of females who are dedicated in the fitness space don't want to be told they can't take a guy's product. And so going back to my Betancourt days, I remember there were a lot of women, especially women who were involved like in MPC, bikini, fitness, and who were involved in athletics. They loved the Bulnox. They loved the testosterone component. You know, knowing that physiologically their testosterone was lower than men, and the opportunity to heighten it during exercise or outside of exercise was something that appealed to them. So my big thing is I have other levels of this brand that females can go to if that's how they're, you know, that's what they're geared towards based on the branding and the marketing, because it's very hardcore. But honestly, the females that are like very hardcore and dedicated, you know, it's not TRT, right? Going back to that, it's not going to scare them.
That's awesome.
Very cool. And then so Altered Physique is the fat burner. Was that also your formulation?
Yes, actually, with Altered Savage and Altered Physique, you know, I say it's my formulation, but really, since Tabitha has been brought on with her background, the formulations have become more collaborations, you know? So it's like Tabitha has a lot of interaction with like the ingredient vendors. So do I, but with her background, she's able to dig more into the research, whereas I can dedicate more of my time to the branding. So I've sort of, you know, been able to sort of give up the digging into the research to her, and she could bring to me these ingredients. I'll say these will work based on the customer base, based on the clientele, based on what we're trying to achieve from the formula. So yeah, that product was a collaboration for sure between the both of us.
I remember that one. So we covered it, kind of a joint thing with N&B Nutrition, who we do a lot of business with. That one had Zinja Burn, right? And so not as much data on that as the calorie burn. So Zinja Burn is going to come from a dehydrozingerone, like a ginger type thing. And then the calorie burn is from the grains of paradise, also in the ginger family. But when you're evaluating something like Zinja Burn, which admittedly has a little bit less human data, like how did you kind of approach that? Do you remember what you were going through?
Yeah, I mean, for us, it was, you know, the balance between a differentiator, which we thought was going to play a role, and the total formula. So Zinja Burn, to me, it felt the same way I felt about, like, for example, MitoBurn, like, right? The LBA-IBA. That one came on my radar partially because of you guys. It was Ergolog in, like, 2016. I read the article.
Right.
And the article referenced you guys in the very beginning from 2015, from that 2014 Harvard study.
Yeah.
And I'm just using this as a reference point just because I have so much history with this ingredient versus the history with Zinja Burn. But it's an example that covers all the ingredients that we use that didn't necessarily have human clinicals. So we based the product and the claims on the Rosa multiflora, right? The adipogenics, right? Mm-hmm. That's where we could pull the clinicals from. But, you know, again, we were having that conversation about being at the forefront. We really liked the studies, the interactions with the company, the confidence that ginger could, promote thermogenesis and what it was claiming. And so, we wanted to include it as like a differentiator. But whenever we touch on those fringe products, that ingredients that we're probably not going to make claims on, we always back up the product with something legit. So you notice there's a great diversity in ingredients at efficacious dosages in that product. And no claims come from like the MitoBurn or the ZingerBurn, but we're pretty confident it's going to deliver on the experience we want for the consumer. So we wanted to include it.
I love that. That's kind of what Brian was kind of talking to, but you said a little bit more straightforward manner. So, yeah.
In cases where you don't have an ingredient, or I should say, in cases where an ingredient may not have a ton of human clinical, you don't make claims based on that ingredient.
Right.
You throw other things in there that have obviously like a ton of backing, and then you wait for those 2 years for all that data to come out, so that 2 years later you can be like, exactly, I was using this product 2 years ago, right? I mean, you get to be on the forefront of that technology, which, I mean, that was the product that got us like really looking at body tech and saying like, okay, like we really got to pay some attention here.
Yeah, as people can imagine, I guess we get sent a ton of stimulants. That was the first fat burner product and a capsule fat burner that I had finished in probably 2 years. So I cleaned that bottle up fast. So well done on that formula, like you and Tabitha.
Thank you.
Yeah.
5 minutes, okay. Give us like outside of these products that we've talked about, and you can't use Betancourt either, what's a product you're proud of creating? What's something that you just really enjoy the process of or something?
Oh, I can't mention Betancourt. Actually, yeah, let's stick to body tech for this one. Okay.
Have we missed anything?
Like in the assortments. So, yeah, I would say the Altered series is just the Altered series in general, I'm probably most proud of to date. And the reason why, so we have like a couple other items outside of what we mentioned. Like we have the Altered Amino, for example, that also has the Tesnor. And the reason why is because we were able to go sort of off the reservation of what's traditionally considered private brands, right? Like when I first came in, they were trying to rebuild private brands because it really did reflect what private brands was in other industries, which was this product became popular, it's time to knock it off, right? Now, these past few years, we sort of changed the narrative where our private label brands are, okay, body tech's been around for 20 years. We have the experience. We have the science. It's time to be at the forefront of innovation and being at the forefront of delivering what consumers are looking for based on our own expertise that we have versus, okay, we're just going to duplicate this product. So I feel like the Altered series is what I'm most proud of because it represents the direction we're going in, which is we are industry leaders. We have the knowledge. We can match anybody in knowledge, and we're going to put that at the forefront of everything we do.
I love it. We have to wrap up because Lee's about to take our spot to do a podcast. But
oh, I forgot about that. And then we get him afterwards.
Yeah, we got our 5-minute warning. But thank you so much for your time. This is really helpful.
Thank you for having me.
Cool.
Thank you.
Can't wait to talk more.
Yes, that's great.